So welcome to the next edition of the Rare Business Podcast. With me today, I have Jacob Morgan. Hi, Jacob.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well. So, Jacob, for the benefit of our listeners and also the readers of the highlights that I'll put out on the blog about this, tell us a bit about you and the work that you do.
So I run a company called the Chess Media Group. And Chess Media Group is a management consulting and strategic advisory firm on enterprise collaboration. So basically what we do is we help organizations, typically enterprise-sized companies, but some mid-sized companies as well. Typically what we do is we help them solve problems and challenges that they are faced with as they pertain to either employee or customer collaboration. And this could be anything from helping them understand which tools they should be using, to how they can be getting employee adoption or internal tools, to how they can be engaging with customers through social channels, through understanding how to measure success, how to develop strategies internally. So all of the above, we help organizations do. And the second key part of that is the book that just came out a couple of months ago called The Collaborative Organization, which has been an Amazon bestseller. And it's the first comprehensive strategy guide on collaboration inside of the workplace.
Okay. So, yeah, because I wanted to talk to you about the book. I mean, it's, I need to take a deep breath, actually, so it's a long title. It says, The Collaborative Organization, a Strategic Guide to Solving Your Internal Business Challenges Using Emerging Social and Collaborative Tools.
Yes. I mean, the collaborative organization is the formal title, but the publisher thought it would be important to add quite a bit of a subtitle there. So that's what came up.
Fantastic. So tell us a little bit about the heart and soul of the book. I mean, what's the main thesis of it?
Well, I mean, the reason the book was put together was, there were two key reasons why I even wrote the book. The first is that I kept getting a lot of questions from clients and from prospects and just from people in the enterprise collaboration space around these particular topics. Things such as, how do we find budget? How do we evaluate tools? How do we promote or market collaboration internally? All the various questions that I addressed in the book, people would keep asking me. And the second reason why I wrote the book is because there really wasn't, at the time, a comprehensive resource for people to go to around collaboration. In other words, a lot of the questions that people were asking me, nobody was talking about online. The analysts, the pundits, the so-called experts, nobody was addressing a lot of the questions that people were actually asking. Okay. And so I thought it was kind of a unique opportunity to fill a gap that I saw and to also answer a lot of the questions that people were asking me.
So how do you think collaboration, I mean, there's two parts to this question, I guess, is that one is, what is the impact of, what are the things that stand in the way of collaboration in organizations? And the second part is, once you get over those blocks, as it were, how does collaboration impact on things like levels of innovation, customer engagement and advocacy, delivery of service, employee engagement, all that sort of good stuff?
Sure. So I should also point out that, the type of collaboration that we're talking about here is really kind of this emergent digital collaboration through these new collaborative platforms that have started, making their way into the enterprise, the Jives, the Yammers, those types of platforms of the world.
Yeah.
And so what's really interesting, and at the core, the biggest barrier that we see is that a lot of employees just don't use the tools. So in other words, an organization would come to us and they'd say, "Hey, we deployed Yammer, or one of the many platforms out there." And they'll say, "Yeah, we deployed Yammer, but nobody's using it, and it's kind of a problem for us." So that's always a big challenge that organizations are faced with. Now, as far as why employees don't use the tools, that's when we start to look at things like corporate culture, or because managers don't support the use of the tools, or because the tools are simply created as an add-on in addition to everything else that the employee needs to do, or because there's no incentive for them to use it. So then we start to look at a lot of the reasons for how we can get employees to start to use those tools. But I think a lot of the barriers to making collaboration successful within the enterprise can come down to lack of support from managers, lack of resources to realistically make this work. So some organizations look at this and just think, okay, let's just, buy a couple thousand licenses for our company and that's it. and they don't look at the resources required in terms of education, in terms of training, in terms of having a team that's going to lead collaboration and plan it out for the future. So there's a lot more that goes into it than just simply, you know, purchasing a tool. Corporate culture, which I think I mentioned, is an issue. Getting both business unit leaders and IT professionals working together to make collaboration successful is another issue. Making sure that collaboration is integrated into the flow of work. In other words, making sure that collaboration isn't an add-on for how employees work, but it's kind of the way that the employees work. In other
Right.
words, it's kind of like the operating system for the enterprise, so to speak.
Sure.
So, you know, those are some of the common things that we've seen.
So what do you think if an organization is looking at increased collaboration, or it believes that increased collaboration is going to add to its productivity, its efficiency, its levels of innovation? I mean, out of the book, what would you say some of the main lessons for businesses are coming out of that your research and your work and the writing of the book?
Well, you know, some of the common problems that we see within organizations for why they want to deploy these tools and strategies are things like employees spend too much time in their inboxes in email,
Yeah.
that it's hard for employees to find subject matter experts and people, that it's difficult to align the organization on goals. Employees typically work in silos and they don't communicate and share information that can benefit others outside of their either department or physical location. What else? So alignment is another one that I mentioned. Executives that want to have greater insight into what's happening in their organizations.
Right.
That's a big challenge that we see within companies. Employee engagement is a huge one. A lot of organizations that we speak to, their engagement rates, in other words, how employees feel about the work that they're doing in the company they work for, you know, how passionate they are, how engaged they are. Those levels are very low in a lot of companies, so that's something that they're really trying to fix. So all these are some of the common challenges that we see within a lot of enterprises. And so they come to us, and they, or not just us, but they come to these tools and these strategies as a way to help solve these problems. And innovation, which is another one that you touched on, is they want to leverage the collective intelligence of their entire workforce to solve a problem or to come up with new ideas. And there have been a lot of very interesting examples and case studies of how these types of strategies and tools are being able to solve these problems. Another very interesting thing is, yeah, I wouldn't necessarily call it a use case, but it's something that we see often, is this kind of notion of serendipity. In
Right.
other words, you never know what type of information you might find or who you might come across in a collaborative environment that can benefit you in a positive way, benefit you or benefit the company. And there are a lot of really cool stories around that. But absolutely, I mean, we've seen all sorts of examples of how these collaborative platforms allow employees to have a voice where they can share their ideas and share their opinions. And some of those things can get turned into products or get turned into services, or how when employee needs help with something, and you know they don't really know who to ask, they can go to their collaborative environment and find answers to solutions. So
Okay.
we see that these platforms and strategies are indeed solving these problems.
Fantastic. Now you touched on there, you talked about some serendipity and that some sort of cool stories. I mean, is there any sort of stories that come to mind that you could share with us?
Oh, sure, of course. So I really like one that was, it's a story from Lowe's Home Improvement. And you know, basically, and you know, it's kind of a, you know, it's not kind of like this groundbreaking story, but it's kind of interesting in terms of what happened. So what happened is Lowe's Home Improvement, there was a lady working in one of the Lowe's Home Improvement stores. And Lowe's Home Improvement had a new product. It was a paint pan. So it's a pan that you pour paint in. But what made this paint pan so special is that it was made out of a special material so that the paint didn't dry up and didn't stick in the pan.
Ah,
And
okay.
so this was something they were trying to sell. And it turns out that, you know, the product wasn't selling that well. I mean, it was kind of, you know, it was doing okay. And a lady in one of the stores started doing a demo of the product where she would pour a bunch of paint inside of this paint pan and show how it wouldn't stick. And when she would start doing these demos in front of people, she would start to sell out of the product. And so she really started to sell out of this paint pan. So she went into her collaborative environment and said, you know, where she can communicate with everybody else, and said, hi guys, you know, hi local stores that are around us, or, you know, hi fellow coworkers. You know, she didn't actually say it like that, but
Sure.
So she went into her collaborative platform and said, does anybody have any more paint pens that they can send me? We're selling out. And people were responding to her and saying, what do you mean? How are you selling out? You know, we can't really even sell that many of them. What are you doing to sell out of these things? And she told everybody about this demo that she's doing. And soon everybody started doing this demo. And everybody started selling out of these paint pans.
Right.
And what I heard is that the, you know, just this one simple idea generated over $1 million in revenue for Lowe's in a very, very short time period.
Nice.
So it's just kind of interesting how somebody looking for more product ends up sharing their idea with others that translates into this kind of this extremely beneficial thing for the company as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was a very cool story of how, you can connect with somebody and, kind of on accident, so to speak.
Absolutely. I remember talking to a company once about this sort of issue where they, you know, a large multinational company, a virtual team that's, you know, organized across probably 3 or 4 different continents, and they had all sorts of, you know, different tools that they're supposed to use, but they were again, like you were saying, suffering sort of challenges in terms of people using the tools. And one of the things that I suggested that my contact consider was trying to almost engineer some use by if you like appointing people as almost like regional leaders to try and kickstart or fire start collaboration. Have you heard of that sort of stuff before? Because sometimes you can have the environment can all be set, but sometimes it just needs a bit of an impulse to get things going.
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course. And, you know, one of the really cool things about this space is there's no one way to make things happen.
Yeah.
And it's something, it's kind of frustrating because you'll read a lot and hear from other people that there's always, you know, they have to do it this way, or they have to do it that way, or, you know, it has to come from here, or it has to come from there. And I think that's complete BS.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of what makes this space so interesting is that every organization can go down their kind of unique journey, and there are multiple ways to get down the same path. And one of the ways that you outlined is exactly that. A lot of organizations, especially those that are spread out, they might have kind of local community managers or local collaboration champions, so to speak,
sure,
that help get their employees in that particular area on board. And I've absolutely seen that work within a lot of companies. It doesn't mean that's the only way to do it. It doesn't mean that companies have to do it that way.
Nope.
But again, the idea is that it is an option, and I have seen it be successful. So absolutely, I think that's a great idea for a lot of companies.
And do you think some of the lessons that you talk about and some in the book and through your experience, I mean, these lessons apply to smaller firms as well as larger firms as well?
Absolutely. So I actually made a point. So one of the case studies in the book is from a company called FSG. I think they're around 80 employees. And so they're the smallest case study I use in the book. But Chess Media Group as a company, we're tiny, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we have a handful of people, and we use a lot of the same tools that these big enterprise companies use. So, and, you know, even though we're a small team, we're spread out. You know, I'm based in the Bay Area. Some of my team is based in Vancouver. We work with people in other parts of the United States. So we're spread out. We also use our collaborative environment when we work with clients. So
sure,
we can bring them in and share information with them. So if this is something that can work for a small company like ours, there's really no reason why it couldn't work for a company of any size.
Sure.
And small companies actually have a little bit of an advantage here because the cost for these tools for a small company is virtually nil. In other words, I'm talking about purely just the technology cost here.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you don't have a lot of people. There are a lot of freemium versions of the product that you can use. So you can actually make this work within a smaller company at a relatively low cost, which is great. And it's extremely, extremely powerful, extremely efficient. I mean, in the last probably 3 months, I've maybe only sent, I don't know, between 3 to 5 emails to my entire team in the last 3 months.
Right.
So we're virtually done with email unless, you know, somebody emails us and we need to forward it to somebody else. But other than that, we're pretty much off of email.
Yeah, I was just thinking as you were talking there, it's almost like getting people out of their inboxes and almost releasing the intelligence that sits in their inboxes and putting it on an open collaborative platform so that everybody has access to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fantastic. No,
it's extremely beneficial.
Superb. And so, Jacob, is there anything else that you think you would add? Something that we've missed out, or any sort of top tips for our readers and listeners that you would say somebody's on the cusp of thinking, right, collaboration, that's the next frontier for us. We want to sort of ramp that up. What would you say? What would be your top three tips that you would pass on to them?
Well, I think the very first thing organizations need to do is we need to understand why this is something that is important to them. So in other words, you know, don't just make the investment because it's cool and because other companies are doing it, but there needs to be some real tangible value, some problems that you're looking to solve, some opportunities that you think exist. So that's the first thing, is understanding the why.
Uh-huh.
The second is making sure that you have a set of use cases for how employees can benefit from these types of tools and strategies and how they would actually use them. So mm-hmm. for example, somebody in, you know, on your sales team might have a different use case for this than somebody that is a part of your executive team.
Right.
So it's important to understand the various uses for these tools and these strategies and how they can be applied to different parts of the company. The third thing is, I would say, make sure you have senior management support, not just an executive that's going to be writing you a check, but an executive that's actually going to be kind of the collaboration champion, because leading by example is much more than writing a check. Leading by example is actually using the tools, being there, and engaging with others. And that's one of the very common things that we see, which cripples a lot of efforts for collaboration within organizations, is not having that support. So I think those three things would be crucial. And just kind of as a bonus one of the things that a lot of people don't talk about is how collaboration positively impacts the lives of employees outside of the workplace. Okay. So if you think about it, if you're able to solve a lot of the problems that I addressed earlier in terms of making it easier for employees to get work done, making them feel like they're more part of a community, because, you know, in a collaborative environment, you can engage with people based on their passions, based on interests, based on, you know, work that they're doing. So you can start to build these types of communities and closer knit relationships within your company. So if you can start to do that and start to make for more flexible work environments and make it so that employees are confident they can always have access to the people and information they need to get their jobs done, I think you can start to decrease the amount of stress in their lives. And I think if you can do that, then, you know, maybe employees will have less arguments with their spouses when they get home. They'll have more time to spend with friends and family. They'll have more leisure time. They will feel happier about the work that they're doing. They'll feel more passionate about the work that they're doing. And so I think for the first time in the history of business, a lot of organizations have a unique opportunity to not only invest in something that makes, or not only to invest in something that benefits their enterprise, but something that can actually benefit the lives of their employees as individuals as well. And that's something that I think is extremely powerful in this space.
Fantastic. Thank you, Jacob. Now, Jacob, I always finish these interviews with one final question. And that question is, what would you like to shamelessly plug?
Shamelessly plug. Oh my goodness. Well, I would have to shamelessly plug the book in the company. So the book is The Collaborative Organization, which is on Amazon. You can either go to thecollaborativeorganization.com.
Uh-huh.
If you go to my blog, socialbusinessadvisor.com, it's also in the top right-hand corner. Or you can just go to Amazon and type in The Collaborative Organization. And the company is Chess Media Group. So if there's anything we can ever do to help anybody, please let us know.
Fantastic. Well, I'll make sure, Jacob, I get all that linked up in the write-up, and we'll get it all pushed out, and I'll let you know when it goes live. And so thank you so much for your time today.
Sure. And if anybody has any questions afterwards, they can, I'm on Twitter at Jacob M, or they can just email me directly, jacob@chessmediagroup.com. And, you know, happy to answer any questions I can if anybody is interested in this space.
Fantastic. Thank you, Jacob.
Thank you.
All right.